What is up, everyone, and welcome to Retro Reminisce, the podcast that basks in the golden age of gaming by delivering a weekly dose of old-school nostalgia. This is episode 20, and this week we're going to be talking about Booger Man, a pick-and-a-flick adventure for the SNES and the Sega Genesis. We'll discuss this unique platformer and its gross-out humor, if it was able to actually achieve anything with that concept, how well it holds up 21 years later, and we'll also give you guys some current pricing trends in case you would like to check this out for yourself. But before we get started, don't forget to head on over to thegamingoutsider.com, check out our video game podcast, our articles, our reviews, our subscribe links, and our social media links as well. Feedback is greatly appreciated, so use our email links to let us know how we're doing. Also, subscribe to this podcast via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, TuneIn, and more. Last week, we released episode 19, and that was our Halloween special all about The Haunting, starring Poltergeist on the Sega Genesis, so check that out if you have not. I'm your host, Josh Faulkner, and I'm here with my co-host, as always, Justin Wilson. Justin, I heard you got some good news, man.
Yep, we just found out yesterday we're having a girl.
So second girl, all right.
Yep, saves a lot of money. We already got all the clothes set aside and everything, so it's nice.
Yeah, you're going to be outnumbered in that house, buddy.
Yeah, I'll be really sad when my brother-in-law moves out.
Yeah, for real. You're going to be the only dude, man, the only dude. It's all good, man, though. Congratulations. I'm happy for you.
Thanks. I'm excited. Now I'm just waiting on you to announce number two.
Oh, God, no. Please, no. I don't know if I could go back to the newborn stage, man. That was rough.
It is.
That
it
was
is.
Probably one of the hardest times of my life. That took 2 or 3 months when you have a newborn. Oh, man, that was rough. I'll take terrible twos any day over that again. So I don't know if I want to go back to that, but you know, I wouldn't be opposed to it. Like, if my wife came to me right now and told me, hey, I'm pregnant, I wouldn't be like, oh, my God, my life's over, you know. But at the same time, I don't know, man. I'd like him to get a little older, I think.
Right. Out of diapers, at least.
Yeah, totally. Like maybe 3-4 years old.
Maybe stop picking their nose and eating their boogers.
Exactly. Yes. So speaking of boogers, we're going to talk about Booger Man. So this game released on the Sega Genesis, I believe it was August of 1994, and then a year later it hit the Super Nintendo as well in 1995. This game was published and developed by Interplay, the guys who were in charge of like stuff like Earthworm Jim and whatnot, and you can definitely tell by playing this game that it's by that team. This is a platformer, and it came out about 21 years ago. Now, Justin, you're actually a big fan of this game, right?
Oh yeah, this is one of the first games that one of the first platformers I can remember playing, and it's just full of that terrible comedy that you know I love so much.
Yeah, now I was 9 years old when this game came out, and of course, when you have a video game that's all centered around farts and burps and boogers, you know, my 9-year-old self was excited for this game. I even remember the commercial with the fat guy sitting at the bar, like eating like the chili and the nachos and stuff, and he like let a big fart and blew the wall out behind him, and he was like, oh man, that wasn't me. I even remember the commercial of this game, but I was so excited for this game when I was a kid, and I remember playing it and not liking it very much at all. And I don't remember playing a whole lot of it, but I remember I ran to the video store. I rented it. I played maybe a couple hours of it, and I was done. So this game always had a bad taste in my mouth, and I say that weirdly because I don't want a bad booger taste in my mouth. But but this game, I always remember it poorly. But you had to hold it in pretty high regard, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And actually, I have, I found a link to that commercial you were talking about.
Oh, really? Yeah, you should watch that commercial. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I watched it a long time ago, and when I came across it, I watched it, like, I showed my whole household, so I ended up watching it, like, 4 times.
Nice. Now, this game was actually developed, I'm not sure if it's by the exact same guys that made Earthworm Jim, but you can definitely tell there's a connection between the two because both games have very killer animations, and they both have a lot of gross-out humor to them. But Earthworm Jim was definitely held in much higher regard in my mind, especially the first one. The second one was really good, too. But this game came afterwards. And it debuted on the Genesis first, and then it came out on the Super Nintendo. And there's some differences between the two, and we'll get into that. But Justin, you want to talk a little bit about the story of Boogerman and what this game is all about?
Sure. Before I get into that, actually, it's funny you mentioned Earthworm Jim. I read up online that they had planned to do a crossover game with Earthworm Jim and Boogerman that never happened.
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. But anyways, all right. So there's this dark, stormy night, and Professor Stinkbomb is working in his lab, and he's trying to build a machine that'll save the world from all pollution. And he transports it to a place called Dimension Excrement. Now, bear with me, folks.
There's I see what you did there. There's interplay.
There's a lot of it in here. The same evening, there's this eccentric millionaire named Snotty Ragsdale, and he comes into the lab to investigate the project and figure it out. And him not knowing too much of what he was doing, he accidentally inhales a cloud of pepper from the machine, causing him to let out a mighty sneeze. And the power of the sneeze ends up breaking the machine and opening up a portal, and this giant arm pops out and steals the machine's power source. And so Snotty Ragsdale, being the eccentric billionaire he is, has an alter ego, and he jumps into a different room and changes into Boogerman. And jumps to the portal to save this machine.
Gotcha. Now, Boogerman looks like someone's goofy pedophile uncle. I mean, this guy is he's the definition of the guy that wears nothing but sweatpants all day, every day.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so the design of this guy is very lazy, as lazy as he looks, really. So the very goofy-looking guy. And you play this game, it's a standard platformer, and you go through, I think there's about 20 levels in the game, and there's about 5 different stages, and there's about 4 levels in each, but there's one section in the game, I think it's in the sewers, where there's like a bunch of levels, there's actually like 10 or 12 of them, I believe. And you play through, and you hit bosses at the end of every big area in the game. And then at the end, you fight this guy who's the big head honcho of Boogerman, and I forgot his name. It has escaped me, but what was that guy's name?
Boogermeister?
Boogermeister, yes, yeah. Boogermeister. So, and he has a palace called the Puss Palace that you have to fight him in, and it's absolutely ridiculous. So you go through this game, and you're basically just jumping on stuff. You have an attack where you flick a booger out of your nose at people. You can actually squat down and hold a button to charge up a fart and let it go. And there's actually secret areas in the game that you can blow up, like rocks and stuff, to find little secret hidden spaces and stuff like that.
I wonder if Link ever thought about that, approaching them the doors he needs bombs for. If he'd have just cut one real bad.
Yeah. ate a whole lot of rupees or something. I don't know. Yeah. So you can flick hawk loogies, I believe, at people too, and so everything's just revolving around snot and boogers and farts and flatulence and all that stuff. And the level design is like that too. The art style. I mean, there's trees that look like they have like boogers and snot like hanging out of them. There's vines that you can swing on that are made out of strands of snot. You actually can go up like these giant noses that take you to like other parts of the level. It's all pretty ridiculous. You can even get yourself flushed down toilets and come back up too, and it'll take you to other areas of the stages. And they have plungers that you collect too. And if you collect enough of them at the end of the stage, you'll actually try to build a ladder with all the plungers. And if you make one long enough, you'll hit a top of a platform, you'll get an extra life. So it kind of reminds you of like a Mario or a Rayman. If you collect enough of something, you get more lives at the end of the stage. Now, I don't know, like the gameplay like feels okay. Like the controls feel pretty tight. The platforming feels pretty good. My biggest issue is the level design here. Like I just feel like the stages they're very large, and you can roam all around, left or right, up and down. There's a lot of verticality to them. It just feels like the level designs to me are made just to make you chuckle and gross you out more than anything. Like, what do you think?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, there's some challenges where, you know, there's like a lot of the platformers back in the day, there's a lot of going back and forth in the exact same area. It's not like completely linear where you're headed forward the whole time.
Yeah.
But the background, even like the loogies you swing off from, you start to slide down them and he just kind of looks at the camera like,
ugh. Yeah, it's actually pretty funny, the animations that he has, his eyes get real big and you just kind of slowly slide down the snot strand. And that's one of the huge major pluses of this game, is that the animations and the graphics and everything look really, really good. I just wish I feel like it's all aesthetic and not very good level design. Like, I feel like I'm just kind of jumping, falling, and they get very lazy with the enemy placement in this game too. I noticed they just kind of stick enemies everywhere, scatter them around, try to throw a bunch of them at you at once, and you usually die by just getting bombarded by little bouncing boogers and trolls with spears. And then there's these little guys that look like they have pus pockets all over them. And when you kill them, they explode. And if you get touched by the explosive goo that comes out of them, like, you get hurt. And there's all kinds of different weird, goofy enemies.
Now, you played the Genesis version, correct?
I did, yes.
Now, little unknown fact, I guess. I actually didn't even realize it till just now. The Super Nintendo and the Genesis have completely different level layouts. The design's the same. The character models look exactly the same. Even the animations of him, like, going up the nose and going down the toilet, they're all very, very similar. But they pretty much dramatically changed the level layout, I noticed, because I looked at the Genesis one, and they get rid of like a whole bridge segment that they had in the Super Nintendo one. Well, I guess more of added a bridge segment to the Super Nintendo one, but yeah you get my point.
yeah. Now, see, I don't know if they tightened the level design up at all in that version, but I primarily, I mean, most 16-bit era games I experienced on the Genesis, because I was just a Genesis kid back then.
Right.
And even back then and even today, I just feel like the level designs just feel kind of boring and bland, and you just kind of zigzag back to forth, up, back, forth, up, and it doesn't feel like there was anything that was creative in these levels. So maybe they tightened that up in the SNES version.
They did a little bit, but as far as, like, I mean, the awkward placed enemies, they're obviously there. They're not really much of a challenge. You're not going to get a billion of them back to back, especially in the early levels of the game. They do kind of feel haphazardly thrown in there. And then the red blob things that you jump on, they're kind of completely and utterly pointless. I actually don't know what they're for at all.
No idea what they're for either. No.
I even looked it up online, and they're only referred to as red blob things. Like, they don't even have a name.
Nice.
But other than that, there's the combat is really, really fun in this one. Like, just the animations, it's fun to go through and pick a different animation to fight the bad guys with. Like, if you you'll find a little jar of milk, and it'll turn your snot shot into a loogie shot, so you can spit further. And then they got hot peppers, which let you breathe fire. A can of beans, which charges up your farts.
It makes a little fireball pop out of your ass, more or less.
A snot blob, which is your ammo for your boogers. You don't make your own boogers. You obtain boogers in the forest and put them up your nose. And then there's also, like, you know, like your capes, which is your the style of damage, I guess you'd call it. Your cape has different colors in this one.
The cape does nothing. It's just there for decoration and it's sort of a health indicator, I guess you could say.
Yeah, if the cape is flashing, you have 3 hits before you die. If it's red, you have 2 hits before you die. And if it's yellow, you have 1 hit before you die. And there's no way of – that's just kind of something you figure out as you go along. There's nothing to tell you. There's no obvious, you know, like a
tutorial or anything.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
Thank
it's
you.
It's just throw you in and you go after it, yeah. Now, most of the time, unless you obtain a better cape that gives you more hits, you usually die in 2 hits. They'll give you 1 free hit, and then after that, you're done. That can make the game a little frustrating at times, especially when they get kind of lazy with the enemy placement, and they'll just throw some hard enemies at you, and then they throw the little bouncing boogers everywhere, and they just kind of bombard you, and it gets pretty annoying. But the worst part about it are the boss battles.
Oh yeah,
so let's talk about them for a minute. Now, I think there's 5 bosses in the game. There's like a hillbilly guy with a chicken.
Hick boy.
There's like the Yeah, Hick Boy. There's a woman with a she has like a veil on her face, and she kind of looks like a superhero, and she just throws stuff at you and has like a staff and swings around. There's like a guy dressed like an ant with his ass crack hanging out, and then there's a fly dude too that like hawks stuff at loogies at you and flies around the screen. And then of course you have the big bad guy at the end who uses farts and he farts little tornadoes at you and stuff like that. But if you've noticed with these boss battles, now the boss battles are the exact same in both versions, I noticed. The boss battles are pretty much all set up exactly the same, except for the fly guy boss battle. They'll have a platform on the left side of this level, a platform on the right side of the level, and then they just throw the boss in there, and you just jump from left to right and hit them, then jump back and to dodge their stuff. Like the levels are all set up the same, and even though all the enemies have different attacks and attack patterns, you essentially defeat them the exact same way. Did you notice that too?
Oh yeah. You have Hick Boy who throws a chicken, and then you have Revolta, who's that girl who blows kisses at you. And you know, they're kind of the same attack, but you know, one of them floats in the middle of the screen, whereas the chicken obviously is more on the ground. And then you got is it Deodor Ant? The ant character, I believe he digs underground and then comes up again. So they have a variation of attacks, but yeah, in the long run, the only thing that I found different from boss to boss is the number of hits. It's not quite clear on how many you need boss.
So I can't remember the name of her, but the second boss is the female with like the veil on her face. She has like the, what was it?
Revolta.
That's it. Yeah. She has like the, there's sort of like a Castlevania, like Medusa head thing going on where she'll throw like her head at you and stuff. And that staff attack that she does from left to right side of the screen, I fought this lady, I kid you not, probably 30 times before I beat her. And I had it down to a T where I had that attack pattern like memorized, and she did not hit me. And I hit her with a booger probably 15, 20 times, and she still did not die. And then I got caught slipping, and she killed me at one time, and I was about to throw my controller at the wall. These bosses take a lot of hits, and some take more than others. I remember Hick Boy seemed to go down pretty fast.
Oh yeah,
and I don't know, maybe I was using the wrong attack or something, but man, these boss battles last forever, and you only get a couple hits and you're dead, and you have to really memorize those attack patterns, and they're not really hard to memorize. It's just that you can get caught in them easy if you're not paying attention. You have to really be on point, and my palms are like sweaty, and I'm like staring at the screen, not wanting to blink. And those bosses can get pretty brutal at times. Yeah, the game uses a password system as well. So if you die, you can get a password. And the passwords aren't like names or letters or numbers or anything like that. They're pictures of enemies in the game. So you have to kind of memorize what the enemies are as the passwords. And they'll give it to you when you die. And the cool thing is they'll even give you a password before the boss battles. So if you get stuck on a boss, you can go right back to it. And you don't have to worry about playing all the levels over again in order to get back to the boss. So they're pretty generous with that. The game also has outhouses that act as checkpoints too you can hit, but the outhouses are very few and far between. And honestly, I feel like they don't really do a lot of help, because sometimes I won't even notice that they're there because they're kind of in the ground. And I've missed them several times and I have to keep starting back at the beginning of the level every time. So I didn't really like the checkpoints.
Yeah, this game me neither. They seemed like they would give you one kind of way too early on in the level. Like you'd get through some really easy parts and then there's your checkpoint. And next thing you know, you have to swing across boogers. And there's a lot of leaps of faith in this game. You really have no idea where you're supposed to go. So you'll jump up like in the first area, you'll jump up on a tree and you have no idea where you're supposed to go. So you'll just make a leap of faith to the right and hopefully there's another tree to land on, or else you could fall all the way back down to the beginning of the level. So that's kind of one thing that definitely irked me about this game that I didn't notice back then is the camera angles and the fact that you really can't see where you're going. You just kind of need to, trial and error it as you go.
Yeah, and I did notice that with those leaps of faith they're talking about, a lot of the times they don't really have any bottomless pits for you to fall in. Like, you'll land on something. It might not really take you to the easiest part to navigate through the level. You might have to do some backtracking wherever you land. But usually they don't just kill you a lot of the times.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't like Mario where you take a leap of faith and there's a, you know, some spikes or a bottomless pit and you're just done for. You know, so that's not too bad there. But yeah, no, I do agree. And one of the things about this game is the sound design. It's kind of hit and miss for me. There's things like the Yeti in this game that makes this noise, and every time it does it, I want to just plug my ears. It's obnoxious, and if it kills you, it does it over and over and over again until the level reloads, and it's obnoxious. But the game does have pretty decent sound effects. The music is okay, but man, the intro song to this game, like the theme song to it, is actually really cool. I really like the theme song.
I loved all the noises this game made. Maybe that's part of the blind nostalgia, but just this entire game, every single scene makes me laugh.
Yeah. I noticed that I was looking at some of the differences between the two versions, and I noticed some people argue that the Genesis version is better, and some people argue that the SNES version is better. But one thing I noticed is I definitely like the music more in the Genesis version. They both have different sound chips. So when you put the music in both systems, it kind of comes out differently in each one. It may sound a little better in the Super Nintendo version. It might be punchier. But the Genesis version, it sounded more clean to me, and it sounded more catchy. It sounded more jazzy in a way, like that intro song. And I really like it on the Genesis version a little more than I do the Super Nintendo version. But otherwise, sound effects are okay. I like Booger Man's little noises and stuff that he gives
Booger.
Off. Yeah. And you know, and there's little dialogue things from like boss fights and stuff that are kind of funny. But otherwise it's okay. I just wish the music was a little catchier through the actual stages. Now, what about the controls? How do you feel this game controlled?
The controls, I thought they were pretty spot on. There's a little couple areas where I had a problem, like with swinging from snot to snot. It's kind of hard. And there's areas where you can jump up snot. The ones that you climb, you just basically like repeatedly jump up them. And that can get kind of hard if you're, you know, your hands are sweaty and it's that D-pad. If your thumb's hurting really bad, you might slide off. And then the leaps of faith were really honestly the only two things from controls I hated. Going down the toilets can be a little hard sometimes too, I noticed. I don't know if that's just the Super Nintendo version, but I definitely would get on top of a toilet and sit there and mash the down button, and he had to get it on there just right for him to go down, it seemed.
Yeah, it was like down the Genesis version too. It has to be like pixel perfect in order for him to go down the toilet, so... Yeah, it's about the same. That's a really positive thing with this game. The game controls really good for it, and that's really important with a platformer. You have to have really tight controls with a platformer, because that's going to make or break a platformer for you. And we're actually going to be covering another platformer here in a couple weeks that we have planned to cover. And I know, Justin, you know what I'm talking about, but I played this one a little bit, and it did not have tight controls. And playing that after Booger Man, I was like, I appreciated Booger Man much more for its tight controls and everything. All the jumping feels really good, you know, like jumping and trying to aim Booger Man onto a platform feels great. Jumping on an enemy isn't too bad either. Some of the enemies, I feel like I was jumping on them, but I wasn't, I was missing them for some reason, and I wasn't actually hitting them, even though it looked like I was. But for the most part, the game controls really well, and I was impressed with that.
Oh, yeah. You brought up like the aiming of the boogers and everything. It seems like they made the boogers fly. This is really weird to talk about. But they really made the boogers fly perfectly. They go like straight across. But they go all the way across the screen almost. So you can really like – aim them. You can lead your shots really easy with them. It doesn't feel like you got to get too close or they're hanging halfway off the screen when you're trying to hit them or anything like that.
Yeah, and that's a very important skill to learn for the boss fights too, because a lot of the times you're going to use your booger attack to attack them, and kind of lining up those shots and knowing the arch, you know, of the booger to hit them is pretty important. So So yeah, what about the graphics, man? How you feel? How you feel this game looked?
Oh, especially exceptionally good. I was comparing the graphics between the Genesis. I think I said this earlier. The Genesis and the Super Nintendo, and they're. I mean, you can't tell which game is which, other than I believe the Genesis version. No, the Super Nintendo version has stars in the background.
Ooh. Yeah, the backgrounds are a little more detailed. I noticed.
Not as dark. Other than that, like the snot boogers you jump on, the enemies, the animations of you going in and out of the nose and the toilets and all that, they're actually the exact same. The colors are the same, the animations, the sprites, everything's pretty much the same system to system.
The color palette is a little brighter on the Super Nintendo version, and I know some of the backgrounds come in more a little more colorful, and it does make them look more detailed. And also, Boogerman looks fatter on the Super Nintendo version. He's like slightly thinner. And I don't know if that was the way the resolution was on the system, you know, and he was just, you know, shrunk down a little thinner because of the resolution. But I definitely noticed a difference of how chubby he was between both versions, and the Super Nintendo version, and then when he looked a little fatter. So, but yeah, otherwise, it's just like Interplay. I mean, it's a staple of Interplay, especially in the 16-bit era. They made great looking games, and they have a lot of imagination, and you can definitely tell here. And a lot of the level design is very good. You know, you have like the flatulent swamps where you're like trees of made of boogers and mucus everywhere, and then you have like a mountain area called the Mucus Mountains and Booger Town and the pits and stuff like that. The pits was probably my favorite area of the game because it was like a it kind of felt like you're going down a volcano, but you weren't, kind of going into a mountain, and it felt like the level design was tighter there than the other areas. And some of the stuff in Booger Town was pretty cool too, like some of the little graphical flair of like the signs of kind of pointing you where to go. And there was like the wanted posters for the enemies, like looking for Booger Man. And the Puss Palace level at the end had some pretty funny gags because you're in this villain's castle. And if you notice on the walls, there was different pictures of him in various stages of his life. And they showed like a baby picture of him shooting a snot rocket or something as a baby, and it was kind of funny. But a lot of detail in the levels, looks great animations. Definitely one of the better looking 16-bit games of that time in that year, I think.
Oh yeah, you can tell they were really trying to build a whole universe around Booger Man and you know, with the alter ego and the characters and everything. Mm-hmm. It really kind of felt like, I'd hate to compare it to this, but the Tick. It really kind of felt like the Tick, where it's a failed superhero universe or a cheesy, really over the top superhero universe.
Yeah, definitely. So what about the difficulty? How did you feel how hard this game was? I think this game's pretty damn hard.
Oh, honestly. Yeah. Definitely, definitely thankful for the password system because there's no saving or anything like that. So you definitely got to write down your passwords. But I like it because you can set it down and pick it up with the password system at any time you want, and pick up right where you left off with if you put in your password, you start out with your three lives and your two hit cape and all that, just like you did at the beginning of the game. So it is hard in spots, but it's really easy to put that password in and grind back after you've set it down for a little. Because sometimes setting it down and walking away for a day or two, you might come back and beat that boss you tried so hard, so many hours trying to kill him, and you might beat him in 5-10 minutes first go.
Yeah, definitely. I felt the game was definitely difficult, especially as it got farther in, which, I mean, that's what this video game is supposed to do. It's supposed to get more challenging as you progress. But I think after you get out of the flatulent swamps, like that area of the game's not too difficult, I feel. I was able to kind of move through that pretty quick. But once you get to like Mucus Mountain and stuff, the game gets a lot more difficult, and they get a little crazier with the enemy placement, and they start throwing some cheaper enemies in at you, like, again, like the exploding guy with the pus pockets all over him, or whatever you want to call those. That guy drove me nuts every time I saw him. But and the enemies will respawn when you walk off the screen too. So if you clear out a section full of tough enemies and then you somehow backtrack and end up in that spot again, they're all going to respawn on you, and you have to deal with it all over again.
And they also have enemies that spawn enemies. There's one guy that that picks his nose, and then little boogers come out and start hopping around, and they're enemies. So there's a lot of fun play with the enemies, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a difficult game. I don't think it's
too like over the top difficult, like I'm just gonna say screw this game halfway through difficult. And like you said, the password system is very lenient, but it's definitely a challenge for sure. So how well does this game hold up today for you? I mean, I know you really liked it a lot as a kid. Did it hold up for you today, or did you like it less, or how did you feel about it?
I definitely liked it a little less just because of the leaps of faith. It's definitely a trial and error game. It's not like looking around, trying to strategize, trying to find hidden doors, or trying to figure out where you got to go. It's more of just go this way and hope it's the way you got to go, which kind of took away from the play value a little bit for me, because I like to plan. I like to see things play out. And in that game, it's more of just, like we said earlier, leaps of faith.
Yeah. I'm actually the opposite. I did not like this game as a kid, and I actually enjoyed it more now than I did back then. I think I have a little better appreciation of it. Now, I still don't think it's like an amazing game or anything by any means. I still think it has lazy level design. I still think some of the enemy placement's bad. And the humor doesn't really quite work for me in the game, and I'm a big fan of toilet humor, and I felt this game just tried too hard, really, with that, and it definitely wasn't as humorous as I would like. It started to get a little old after a while, I think, but otherwise, like the game's pretty fun. Like I said, it's got tight controls. It's got some funnies, a couple funny situations. The boss battles are very challenging, but in a good way. You know, I had some fun with it, revisiting this game, and I'm actually glad that you recommended this game, because I feel like I would have poo-pooed on it, continue to do so, and now I don't think the game is quite as bad as I remember.
And so it sounds like we met somewhere in the middle. I think it's a little worse than I remember it, and you think it's a little better than it. Because I definitely still loved the game. I still had a fun time playing it. I still played it all the way through this time, just because, you know, nostalgia and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Now, I do want to mention before we move on that this game actually had a Kickstarter campaign for a 20th anniversary edition. And the two guys who created the game, they wanted to create an HD version with all new hand-drawn animation and graphics and artwork and all that stuff. And it was going to be full HD and all that. And there was elements in the game that they wanted to put in that they didn't have time and resources for, that they wanted to put into the 20th anniversary edition. And there were some screenshots and stuff of it, and it looked pretty interesting. They had a Kickstarter up. It failed. They didn't get enough money for the revival. And then they went to Steam Greenlight to try to get Steam to greenlight the game for them in like the indie scene, you know. And after that, I don't know if it ever got greenlit or not, but after that, the game just kind of disappeared. We never heard anything from it. So there is a very good possibility that they might be able to get the funding for this thing, make it, and we might see a revival of Boogerman in
I hope
HD
so.
Glory. But and I'm very interested in that, too, because, I mean, when I was researching this, they did admit that there's a lot of stuff in the game they couldn't put in there that they wanted to. And they named off a few things. I forgot what they were. But yeah, I mean, if they could take this concept and really build upon it and just make a gross out funny game with better level design and maybe beef up the humor, be a little smarter with the humor, you know, I would definitely I'd be down for that. I'd be interested in playing it. So hopefully we'll see that come to fruition sometime. But as of right now, it's just missing in action.
My brother-in-law is a little older than me, but I think it's about 9 years. So he actually remembers a lot about Boogerman when it first came out. And he remembers there was actually a lot of controversy because it was like one of the first gross-out games to actually, you know, this is definitely up there with no violence, no gross-out humor and all that, that people like me weren't allowed to enjoy. My family let me do the, you know, Boogerman, but that was kind of the line. And I feel like it was the line for a lot of parents back in the day, because, you know, there's burp and fart and booger jokes all over TV, you know, cartoons, everywhere you look.
Especially back then when you had Ren and Stimpy around this time, which was notorious for that stuff.
But yeah, that was it was just kind of really cool that to think a game like this that was created 21 years ago was considered taboo. Because it's definitely, I mean, they wouldn't get away with this now, not as much, not without it actually being Boogerman, because people are burnt out on, you know, this isn't edgy anymore. It's just there.
we're like desensitized to this kind of stuff now. Yeah. Yeah. And the 16-bit era was a huge time for video games, because that's when we got stuff like Mortal Kombat that really pushed the boundaries of what kids were playing. And parents started to take notice. And, you know, that's when the ESRB was created around that time. And you had stuff like Night Trap. I remember the game Night Trap causing a lot of controversy, too. And this game came out around a similar time frame. So, yeah, I mean, this was the time when video games were really kind of pushed to their limits in terms of content. And they were actually able to use, you know, pump out graphics good enough to give the detail and everything to really make these games you know, look realistic or look really offensive, I guess you could say. So, yeah, totally. Now, let's go ahead and get some pricing trends in case anyone out there wants to play Booger Man. So, it depends on what version you're hunting for. Now, I will tell you, this game is on the Wii Virtual Console. So, if you have an original Wii, and I'm pretty sure their storefront's still up. So, they haven't shut that down yet. So, you can buy it for $8. There, it's going to be the Super Nintendo version, obviously, but that is available if you want to get a cheap, inexpensive way to play this game. Now, the Genesis version is about $15-$20 for a loose cartridge. Not the cheapest game, not the most expensive either. If you find it complete, it's going to cost you about $30 or $40. The SNES version is actually pretty rare, and it's a little more sought after. The game is about $50 or $60 for a loose cartridge, and if you can find it complete, you're looking at about $250 for this game. So it's a lot more sought after on the SNES, and you know, there's people out there who prefer this version over the Genesis one. I personally think I like the Genesis version more, but that was the one that I played as a kid too. So
same here with the Super Nintendo version.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I have a slight bias towards Genesis as well. I try not to be biased, but man, I loved the Genesis as a kid, and I liked its sound chip better. I thought games sounded cooler on that thing than the SNES.
I'll give you that.
Yeah. And a lot of people will argue against that with me, but when you play games like Streets of Rage, and it has like one of the best gaming soundtracks ever, like I don't see them emulating that style of sound on a Super Nintendo sound chip. But who knows, man? I don't know the technical details of that quite as well as some. But yeah, so Super Nintendo version is going to be really hard to get, and it's going to be very expensive. So I don't recommend going that route unless you're a big collector. So definitely check out the Wii Virtual Console version if you really want to play that one. All right, so that'll be it for this episode of Retro Reminisce. Justin, thanks for recommending Booger Man. It was definitely interesting to replay.
Oh, no problem. And for anyone that wants to see that goofy commercial from the 90s, I'll make sure to post it when this episode gets posted on the Facebook group.
Yeah, we'll actually put it in the show notes, too, on the website. So cool. You guys can click that link as well. So that'd be funny. Tune in next week, where we will be revisiting another retro game. Head on over to thegamingoutsider.com for more, and email us at feedback@thegamingoutsider.com. If there's a game you'd like for us to cover on the show, or just give us any general feedback at all. We hope to see you guys next time, and as we leave, I would like to remind you all to visit your local retro shop, grab a golden oldie, and game like it's 1989. See you next time, guys. Peace.
Booger.